Well, it's time for another exciting episode of the Real BS Show.
Real BS.
Think?
Yeah.
Seems that we're both here.
That's correct.
The B stands for Bull and the S stands for Seth.
Or stuff.
Bull Seth.
That's right.
I don't know. I've been depressed here the last week or so. I don't know if you're watching the news or, well, not the news, but, you know, not the MSDNC or any of them guys, you know.
Just keeping up with the current events, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places to get news other than ABC, CBS, and NBC. Well, there's Fox, too. Of course, they're on the other side of the fence, which I don't blame them. And you try to figure out what's real and what isn't. Can't really do it. But you can tell, though, when you go to the grocery store, big time. You can tell when you go to get some gas for your car. Holy catfish. Every day, every other day, it goes up 10, 20 cents.
Yep.
Just in the last week or two. I mean, it's skyrocketed. Which means, you know, just to drive to Union City and back, I'm spending 25, 30 bucks.
Easily, oh yeah.
Jeez. And
your vehicle's not burning the gas any faster.
No, it's just the cost. 22, 24 miles per gallon or something. It's not bad, but you put 30 bucks in, you don't get as much.
No.
So, I don't know, just the world events and the world, you know, all these countries going back to coal. India and China. And
Germany, yeah.
Germany, yeah, of all people. Jeez. And didn't they have nuclear or power plants?
They had nuclear power plants, and they decommissioned them. That's a lot of countries, even New York State, they recently decommissioned. But they elected a bunch of people that were, let's say, green, quote-unquote, green-friendly, and under the guise that they were going to shut down these nuclear plants.
Because they're very unhealthy or something?
No. They fear nuclear, and they think nuclear is not green. But the reality is we need to have nuclear to go green. If anything, we should be going all nuclear and get rid of coal and natural gas.
Natural gas. What's the, is that methane exhaust?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. You know, it's a byproduct of drilling. But New York State, they got rid of their nuclear plants. They decommissioned them, and then their electricity bill went up 300%.
300?
Yep. And then they brought back coal power plants and natural gas power plants. That's so green, isn't it?
We're in New York State?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good for Pennsylvania because we sell a lot of coal.
Yeah.
I seen a choo-choo train going by. It had all kinds of coal going in the back of it.
Yeah?
You know,
probably going to one of their power plants in New York.
All those cars, they're full of coal. I said, what the heck? You could tell, you know, by the truck traffic and the train traffic, you know, how the economy's doing. And things are slowing down big time.
Yeah, there's interesting things coming about. You know, last time we talked on the last show, we were talking about the baby formula shortage, which is still going on. And it's starting to affect, there's other industries that are starting to have a supply pinch. And I'm hearing this a lot from clients I have, that they're having issues getting supply for certain things. And there's like a, you know, you give somebody three options to choose from, let's say. And used back in the day, used to give three options. Say, oh, here's your three different options you could pick from. And you could have whatever three you'd want. Now it's turning into, here's your three options. It's priority one, priority two, priority three, and priority, you know, there's even a priority four sometimes, because you may not get the first three. It's just not in stock. So these are issues that are starting to grow in everywhere, and prices are going up drastically.
I noticed that at Walmart. Even at Walmart.
Yeah.
And I thought they were holding back a little bit, but no, they're going up too.
It's affecting also a lot of
Oreos. It went from $3.50 to $5 for a little thing of Oreo cookies. Holy catfish!
At least that's vegan, right? You know.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It is. There's but, no meat in there.
or dairy. But here's the thing: even local restaurants are starting to shutter and close up because a lot of diners, they can't. They can't get the supplies in because the prices have gone up drastically.
What about employment?
Employment. That's... They can't keep people because, you know, they're finding new jobs that are paying better. And, you know, COVID really took a deep hit, especially with the government shutdowns. You know, they didn't have people coming in. They just didn't have people coming in. And how are you supposed to keep employment with that, you know?
Well, they got these people got to liking not having to go to work.
That's a part of it.
This is pretty nice.
But a lot of them end up finding jobs where they're paying $16, $20, $17 an hour out the door. And why would you want to go back to waitressing when that's like, you know, you're off tips, basically? And it's an issue. Mind you, this whole wage thing is not even government. This is just the industry. People are demanding more wages. And this, to me, is the most capitalist thing that's ever happened in a long time since probably the Black Death. The Black Death, you know, if we did a show on that before, and if you remember, we talked about how so many people died. Some villages, half the village died from the Black Death. And you end up with nobody, like, being able to do all these jobs. And people started saying, well, wait a second here. All these people are dead. We're going to raise our rates, our wages. And they chose that, and people had to pay. Otherwise, they didn't have workers. And so we're kind of seeing the same thing here. You know, it's people choosing voluntarily to, without the government involved, to pick their wages. And that's, many people are not willing to work anymore for minimum wage. And good luck finding a job anywhere that has employees that it's only paying minimum wage.
I see signs at McDonald's and places like that with $1,000 sign up bonus or something.
Yeah.
And shoot, and then they're saying, you know, starting at 12, and you know, managers get 16, and
right.
I mean, it's a lot higher than what Uncle Sam says they have to do.
It's pretty crazy. You know, the inflation rate is, they're saying it's 8.5 or 8.3 inflation rate, but you were saying shadow stats.
Yeah.
Shadow stats. And they were saying it's like 15.
Well, they're using what they used to use in the 70s and 80s, the measurement.
The CPI calculation.
Fuel counts, rent counts, you know, food counts.
Yeah.
I mean, they took it all in. Now they don't do that. They just...
No. They're going off of, like, how much bread is worth, you know.
LED TVs and stuff like that. You
it's
know.
Stupid.
It's
stupid.
It was a trick to screw the... The Social Security people, because they got a raise every year according to the inflation rate.
Right.
So Clinton said, we'll fix that, and boom, changed the way they calculated the inflation rate and took out all the important stuff. You know?
But, you know, wouldn't you say that there's a reason they did that is because Social Security is growing to a point where the liability is outpacing
than
we can afford? I mean,
it's a Ponzi scheme is what it is. The new guys paid for the old guys.
Right.
And trust me, it Ponzi's don't work. You know, eventually you got too many new guys too many old guys.
Because you
the
have
top, you know.
You
not
have,
enough new guys paying the foot in the bill.
Right. You have a huge issue with, you know, the Social Security liability just alone has $21.9 trillion of liability. And
that's just now.
That's just now.
At future liabilities, it's going to be astronomical.
And then you factor in, you know, the Medicare liability is $34 trillion. But then you have what's called the U.S. unfunded liabilities. That's $169 trillion. And it's going to be $170 trillion pretty soon. But, you know, these are kind of things that we know people aren't thinking about. You know, we got the national debt is $30.5 trillion. I mean, I remember when I was younger, it was like $5 trillion, and they were complaining about it then. You know, I can't imagine.
Well, I remember in the 80s when that Paul Volcker took over, the national debt was... I think it was like $300 billion.
It was nothing. It was nothing.
It was
it was manageable.
5% of the GDP. You know, now it's 130% of the GDP. I mean, and you can thank the Federal Reserve for this whole thing.
And politicians, because, you know, we have to look at the factor is...
Well, yeah, they're spending like drunken sailors.
The deficit, you know, I remember back when they said, oh, we balanced the deficit, and they made such a big deal about it, but it was not even touching.
They balanced the budget, not the deficit.
Yeah, that's what they were claiming, they balanced the deficit. But, you know, but the thing is right now, the deficit is $1.9 trillion a year. That is outrageous. That's more than anything. Like, we're spending so much money, it's crazy.
And that's with the low interest rate on the treasury bonds, or the debt that we have. So if they double or triple the interest rate, there goes, I mean, all the tax money is going to go to pay interest to the bankers.
We have each person, this is like personal debt, is if you take all the personal debt in the country, not business debt, not government debt.
Just your credit cards and
credit cards,
and
mortgages, car payments, you know, court car, you know, loans, any of those things. We have, I'm trying to get the numbers here. That's
70,000.
Right here, it's 23 trillion. Oh, wait. That's 100,000 million, billion, trillion. $23 billion.
$23 trillion.
Yeah, trillion. Yeah, $1 trillion. And if you take that and divide it up for each citizen, even if they're a person, like a baby, you know, just a baby with no money, that's $69,000 a person.
And that counts all the bums on the street, homeless people.
Yep. Hmm. So, you know, we're in some...
I wonder if they worry about that.
You know, and you know, with the talking about the national debt, if you, like, break it down per taxpayer, that's $242,000 per taxpayer if you take all that debt. The national debt. But if you take it by citizen, it's $91,000. And here's the thing. Why is it $91,000 versus $242,000? That's because most people don't pay taxes.
Right. Or don't work, don't pay taxes.
They receive all their money back.
I don't pay taxes.
Yeah.
Well, I do when I go to the store
Right. But these are things, you know, these are concerning things. We're in some weird numbers here.
If I want to drive a car, I pay taxes. You know, it's just all nonstop. Unbelievable. It's depressing, you know. Yeah. It really is depressing. And when you see all of this, and you say, where's this going to end? How's it going to end? And that's where World Economic Forum, those, you know, the guy that owns Pfizer.
Right.
All those guys, Bill Gates and all them, they're figuring it all out. They're gonna fix the problem. Along with climate change.
You know, there's something interesting about when we look at the world's food supply. We are a net grower. We have a lot of output of food. We send food to a lot of different countries that buy our products and stuff like that. So farmers are, you know, selling on a global market. And, you know, India recently blocked wheat exports out of their country. And I don't remember the guy's name, but there was a guy that he developed a wheat process that would grow better in different environments. And that method was tested in Mexico in very tough climate zone. And they used that in India and were able to feed their people. They were able to feed the billion people there with the wheat production. And India ended up becoming the number two wheat exporter in the world, and they are closing off their wheat production.
Well,
to the world,
closing off their exports.
Yeah, their exports, and so we got a problem ahead with just that alone, because wheat is in almost everything you can imagine. It feeds the world many times over.
Yeah, what is wheat used for?
Cereals, bread, cereals. You know, you name it. It's on your cheeseburgers. You know, on the buns. You know, there's so much. Is tied to that, and we are not going to escape that one. We got some rough heads ahead. You know, when they're only claiming 8.5 interest rate, and they're hiding,
8.5 rate of inflation.
Right, and then unemployment peaked during the COVID. You know, during COVID, it peaked to 35%, and now it's back down to 25%. There's still a lot of people not out there with work.
Well, they don't count people who, you know, after 6 months or after your unemployment runs out, boom, you're done.
Yeah,
they don't count you anymore.
They call you not working. But the real, you know, the shadow stats, they actually count those people as unemployed. What the government says is unemployment. They're saying it's under 5%, and that's not true.
Yeah, I keep hearing all this stuff, how wonderful the economy is. It's very strong, even from the Federal Reserve guy, Powell.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying how strong everything is, and after that, what in the world is he looking at?
Yeah.
Now, they raised the interest rate 0.25% or maybe 0.5%.
Right.
Not too long ago. When they're supposed to do it again.
Right.
My guess is they're not going to.
That's
you call inflation. Inflation is too much money.
Right.
It's not the price of everything. It's just there's too much money out there.
They did. You know, when they printed all those, dollars to, like, for instance, when they did all the stimulus checks. And all the checks out to the different businesses, when they did all that, that was made up money. It was not, you know, they didn't back it with anything. They just printed more money.
That's the way it's always
been. And so that basically.
Well, after 71 or 2, someplace in there,
right.
When gold was not. Nixon took us off the gold standard, so
right.
They had a free rein.
Yeah.
Print whatever you want.
And so when you factor that in, we basically have been drastically increased. And, you know, now I'm hearing people, you know, how they used to clamor on about wanting $15 an hour. Now they're saying, oh, $15 an hour is not enough.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a second here. You know, they're starting to realize this. Yeah, well.
Well, there's some lady running for Congress, I think, out in Washington State. She wants the minimum wage to be $30 an hour.
Right.
And she's got all kinds of whack attack crazy. And what's the government got to do with the minimum wage? It should be free market.
I agree.
Would think, you know.
Yeah, it needs
like
to
it's,
be.
Like it's kind of getting that way now where yeah. McDonald's offering $12 an hour. You know,
they're offering $15 an hour in many places too. So, but the problem
Walmart's
is
Walmart's doing the same thing.
This is the argument I've always made is why not make everybody $1 million an hour? What's the difference? You know, like, you know, and then, oh, that's too much. I'm like, well, right, you're basically taking away the market dictation of a person's value, because you have to think about it here. Yeah, you're employed somewhere, but you're offering your services to them for this wage. And if you don't have the skill set or experience, then you're not as valuable compared to other people. That's just the reality of how the world works.
Yeah, well.
And I think that's where we need to have more people with skills and experience.
That's the same thing as San Francisco. They're out there. They're stopping the use of the word chief.
Yep.
You're not allowed to use the word chief for anything.
Right.
Because it's degrading to the Native Americans. Well, Google chief and see where it came from.
Right.
It came from France.
Yes.
It's another word for chef.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do. I mean, the Native Americans didn't know what a chief was.
No.
Until we taught them.
Right. They had a leader.
Chief of police.
But they didn't call it chief, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard about that prosecutor over there that's.
I mean, these people are so ignorant and stupid that it just blows your mind. I mean.
The prosecutor over there is being charged for not the district attorney in San Francisco is a very, very progressive person. His parents were part of Weather Underground, if you know that organization.
Oh, yeah.
They were a terrorist organization.
They put Kamala Harris through school.
Yeah. and the thing is like their son has became the district attorney there, and he's basically letting off criminals for, like, very rough criminals that are doing violent crimes. He's letting them off for nothing. And so they're in and out of prison and going back on the street. And
Portland's the same way. Seattle's, yeah. You know, same crap. It's just nonstop.
I'm not calling for increase of prisons or private prisons. You know, there's people out there saying that you need to get rid of private prisons, and I agree to a point, but they're missing the bigger picture here. Private prisons are only 2% of all prisons. I'm going to repeat that again. Private prisons are 2 to 5% of all prisons. 95% of all prisons are government run.
Well, and Dick Cheney is the guy that owns the 2%.
Yeah, but
former vice president.
But see, when we look at the 13th Amendment, it abolished slavery, but it left it for people that are in prison. And this is part of the whole issue with the economy, because you think about the long-term effects. Let's say you throw somebody in prison for a nonviolent crime. And I mean, they're not harming anybody else. Maybe they're harming themselves. So let's say they're doing drugs or something. I think this is where you throw these people in prison, and then they're stuck in the system. They're put into prison. When they get back out, they can't get a job. Who's going to hire somebody that's a felon? And then they're screwed the rest of their life. They're screwed. And so they go back into a poverty cycle where they have kids, and their kids go up in a rough environment because their father or what mother were thrown into prison. Usually it's a male. And then it's that poverty cycle going on. If you want to alleviate poverty, the quickest way is to remove laws, to stop these laws and remove these laws. It's not the police. The police are just enforcing the law. They're not here to serve and protect, but they're here to enforce the law. So their job is to look at the law. Someone's doing something that's illegal. Then you come in and you arrest that person for doing the legal thing. So we go back to our Congress people. We need to get them to remove these laws. They're victimless crimes, in my opinion. And they need mental health. They need mental health, sure. But this is part of the problem that's hurting our economy. If we don't have these people strong, then it's going to hurt our economy. And it's the common people they're attacking. And most of the people in prison are from poverty or single-parent homes. Most of them didn't have their fathers. I think it's like something like 90% of people in prison didn't have their fathers in their homes. That's a huge number of people that are sitting in prison. And then they have kids, so that means that their kids aren't going to have a father in their home. And yeah, they might not be the greatest people. Some of them might be abusive to their kids. That's a small percentage. Most of them are good parents. They just have an addiction or something that's nonviolent that's put them in prison. I think it's 74% of people in prison have a nonviolent criminal record. They never committed violence of any sort. And so we have a problem there. We need to. That's part of our economy issue. When Biden passed the Tougher on Crime bill.
Yeah, the Biden bill.
Yeah, that was back in the 90s.
That's
when we started seeing a major increase in prisons. Yes, when Nixon was doing his war on drugs, that was an increase. But in the 90s, it skyrocketed us to being 25% of the world's prison population. That's when the real percentage increased. Because they were using the framework, Biden was using the framework of, in the 90s, of the Nixon's war on drugs. But we have to say the war on drugs has failed, and we need to redirect it. And that's where I think the major reform would need to happen is treating drugs as a mental health crisis, not a prison problem.
Well, that's where
I agree with Oregon, though, in one thing at least.
Prohibition. I mean, that was
a major failure.
Oh, geez, you know.
Because you just basically, not you, but when they did that. Now, mind you, I have.
No, I wasn't born.
No, yet. You weren't. But I'm just saying is I have relatives. Great aunts and stuff that were part of the teetotalers. They have passed on. But I have to say, that was an utter failure. And their reasoning, if you think about it for a second, why were they doing it in the first place? There had to be a reason. They viewed it as there was men that were going to the bars, getting drunk and coming home and beating their wives. That was wrong. And so their view was go to the source of the problem, which they viewed as alcohol. And yeah, it did cause America to cut back on drinking.
Well, the biggest funder or supporter of the Prohibition Act and the women's temperance movement and all that stuff back then was Rockefeller.
Yep.
Because he was selling oil and people were using alcohol to run their tractors and their cars. And he wanted to get rid of people making their own alcohol, so they made it illegal. And he supported these women's groups and was a big supporter. Well, prohibition happened and oil took over and he was happy.
You know, and then we look at what happened with alcohol. It was ran bootleg. Even the U.S. government was poisoning its own citizens, because they were basically converting ethanol into, I think it was not methanol, but something. I don't remember exactly what they were converting into, but it was basically the toxic form of ethanol. And that was killing people. They did it on purpose because they were trying to stop people from drinking. And I think it was something like 30...
like Bill Gates.
Something like 30,000 people died from it. And that's our government was doing that. And there's horrendous things our government has done. We could go into that for hours, but... We look at those kind of things, the failures of the past, and people are forgetting them, and they're clamoring for them again. I think it's time to remove. They did the prohibition by amendments, and then had to remove that amendment later on.
It was 1933, I think they killed it.
And you know, I think if we look at now, they don't have the drugs under. It's all under schedules that are not under amendments. And, you know, I think that's where we need to start heading to. There's some alleviation.
Well, that's another reason they can't get any truck drivers, because they can't pass the drug test.
Yeah.
The new guys are smoking rope.
That's part of the reason. The whole truck driver thing, that's another concern, too. We're running into a problem where we don't have enough truck drivers on the road. And many of them are just getting fed up with all the rules and regulations. You can only drive for 11 hours. If you get a load, okay, let's say, I'm going to give you a hypothetical here. This is going into the micro level instead of, you know, we're using a microscope to look at this, because we have to, because it's part of the problem. There's many factors to this. But one of them is, you're a truck driver. You just took a load to a business, and they unloaded it. But then you have to take another load. You have to go drive. And this is all, you only can drive for 11 hours. That's it, in a day.
Yeah.
So then you have to go to another one, and you get loaded, and then you take it to another place, and you have to wait.
A lot of waiting goes on there.
You're waiting during those 11 hours. You can't drive. You can't.
And usually you're not getting paid.
Right. And so you can't drive because the clock already started. So they don't let you split your times up. You're not allowed splitting up, saying, okay, I drove 6 hours, and now I have to wait for 2 hours. Or 3 hours, or 4 hours. I can't break that off and start anew later on. That's wrong. They made it so strict now to be a truck driver because they're afraid of the drivers not being awake and considering that a risk. In my opinion, they should never be involved in 11 or 14 hour days. That's not the government's business. I understand if a driver should be at least sleeping for like 6 hours at the minimum. But when the government says you can't drive for most of the day, that's a little absurd, you know? I mean, they're waiting all the time.
Safety first. You got to have safety first.
And everyone thinks, you know, the cops are out to get them in other communities. Truck drivers face the most cops pressure at all, completely. Because they're getting fined with big numbers, or, you know, $2,000 fine. It's a small fine for a truck driver. You know, common person.
$2,000 to fill up their gas tank.
Yeah. That's the other problem. It's what, 6% or $6? I'm sorry, $6 to fill up. It's going to be $7 here pretty soon.
Oh, it's $6.50 right now.
$6.50. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I have to get diesel fuel for the tractor, and I can't believe what it is.
You know, these people that are doing biodiesel, I wonder how they're doing.
I don't know. I knew one guy that was doing that, but his factory burnt down and he's out of business. So I mean, they stayed in business for a while, but he finally gave it up. But I mean, there goes the corn, you know. I mean, that ethanol, I guess, is a lot of corn.
You know, that's one of the things too, is we're using ethanol to make corn to make ethanol, and putting 10% of that in the gas. I always thought that was stupid in a way. You know, this is no criticism to corn farmers at all.
Well, I know a couple of people that work for the refineries, and they say it costs money.
Yep.
Costs more money to put ethanol in the gas than it is to just sell gas. But because of the chainsaw and the wood splitter, I have to use non-ethanol gas.
It'll destroy
you. And it's 50 cents to 75 cents a gallon more for the non-ethanol gas than it is the ethanol gas.
Yeah, it's messed up. And
so
I think
my
subsidies
operation, I'm getting hammered from every direction.
It's subsidies, though. That's what how they're feeding. They're doing the corn. The government's paying people that plant corn. They're paying the plant corn, and then they're paying the people to make the ethanol just to subsidize us with 10% in our gasoline, which is destroying engines. And if you ask any mechanic, it is, there's some, yes, sure, there's some cars out there that are can use ethanol, and they're made to use with ethanol at 10% or whatever. But the reality is, it's destroying vehicles. It's destroying seals and valves. And we're seeing less long-term use out of vehicles because of ethanol.
Does it make your engine leak oil?
No. Well, it could.
Seals?
Yeah,
because my main seal is leaking.
Oh, that's not good.
I got to get some kind of glue to stop it.
But this is the reality we're facing, and we're sitting there giving all these subsidies to different agencies. I think the true market value needs to happen. I think dairy farmers should be able to charge the price that they want to be able to charge, but they're government restricted. Same thing with farmers. They should be able to charge the price they want and grow what crops they want.
Well, now it's all state. Our milk is, we sell our milk at the state minimum, lowest state minimum.
Maximum. State maximum. They can't sell more than that.
Well, they're saying that the price is as low as the state will let it.
Yeah.
Go. I said, well, what happened to free enterprise?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, jeez. So I don't know who's, it's so confusing. The government is so overwhelmingly burdensome.
There's so much interference that, you know, with bureaucracy, and that most people are not cognitive of. They don't see that it's going on. I started seeing it in the military. That's when it caught to me when I was in the Army, how much bureaucracy was happening, and I just realized how inefficient everything was ran. I think we need to have a real deep look at it. Look at the trillions of dollars the Pentagon lost. You know,
just can't find it.
They can't find it. It's disappeared. It's gone. Right. Where'd all that go?
Well, the real culprit, the real bottom line to all of this criminal activity is the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
Those 12 banks that run our money supply and buy our bond, our IOUs.
Right.
The citizens issue IOUs in the name of Treasury bonds.
Right.
And the Federal Reserve just prints money out of thin air. And buys these bonds so the government can spend more money that they don't have. And it's all their fault. I mean, they shouldn't even be in business. There shouldn't even be a Federal Reserve.
Right.
And the Fed. It's,
I agree with that.
I've always agreed with that. But when Nixon took us off the gold standard, that just gave them the green light to go do whatever they want. So they're going to own the country. I mean, they probably do. Probably close to it, but I mean, it's so depressing, let's put it that way. Now it's going to hit the food supplies, and that's when it's going to get bloody out there. There's going to be riots like you ain't never seen before.
Well, you're talking about riots, you know, we're going back to the official unemployed number is 5.9 million, all right? The actual unemployed is 11 million people. But not in the labor force right now is 100 million people.
That's me.
You know, and well, you know, quote unquote, you're not. But no, the self-employed is 10 million roughly. That's me. I'm, you know, self-employed. Part-time workers, 25 million, and 132 million full-time workers. But the reality is these people, what are they doing? You know, these people that are not employed. You know, how are they surviving? And you have look.
They're eating food.
Yeah, they're eating food.
Smoking cigars and cigarettes and eating food and drinking alcohol.
It's
probably doing drugs too.
Well, probably. Who knows?
Yeah.
But you know, the thing is we're seeing these we're seeing the effects of the economy happen, and the food prices are going up. People are getting pinched at the grocery store. They're getting pinched at gas. They're getting pinched. You know, oh, by the way, we're the highest gas tax. We're higher in gas taxes than California.
Pennsylvania?
Yes, we are. Wow. We have the most gas tax.
I knew when Wolf first took over, he, number one, 20 cents, boom.
And then he raised it again. And
well,
then again.
He has probably since then, but I just remember when he first took over, 20 cents added to the price of gas.
Yep.
His doing. Of course, then, you know, the state legislatures went along with it, so. So, I mean, it's like, who'd we just send? Oh, they just sent $50 billion or something to you.
$42 billion, yeah. $45 billion.
Well, when you add in all the...
It was $45 billion, yeah. To Ukraine.
Ukraine.
Yep.
And we're out of baby formula. We got 2 million immigrants every year.
Baby formula is still going on. You know, you remember the last episode we had Stolzel on there. He was talking about how we could bring it in from Europe, but the FDA is putting a block to it. You know, how about this? You try making your own baby formula and selling it to people. See what happens. They're going to come after you.
Yeah, you'll probably be in prison too.
You know, there's something wrong about that. You know, I mean, yes, you should be testing. You should be able to prove that you will have a clean environment and sterile, and you're not going to harm any person. But there's got to be a way to relieve the government off people's backs to be able to produce things. Because a free market could have resolved this, you know. And honestly, you know, Abbott being closed down to WIC or because that was 53% of the whole market was going to Abbott. Mm. Or I'm sorry, WIC had 100% contract with Abbott making the baby food. And that was 53% of the market. So 53% of babies were getting fed with WIC. If we had a free market, then it wouldn't be 53% monopoly. You know, we wouldn't have these shutdowns.
Say thank you, government.
we'd have choice. We wouldn't have just three choices to pick from. Because that's all you have right now is just three choices. And there's something wrong with that. You know, people are getting upset at people sharing recipes how to make your own formula. You know, I'm going to give you a secret here. My mother fed me with evaporated milk, water, and Cairo syrup mixed together. I think I turned it off. That's what it was.
Well, no wonder you're like
that. I know, right? and it's like...
That explains everything.
But, you know, but see...
You're smarter than everybody else.
I don't know.
It's like Cairo syrup that did it.
Maybe, just a little bit of Cairo syrup. But that's, you know, I'm not sitting there and telling people how to raise their kids. I'm just telling you that's what I was raised on. You know, I think I turned out fine.
Yeah, you did.
You know, I'm 5'10".
You ain't robbed any banks lately.
No, I haven't. Not criminal. I haven't done anything violent.
Yeah, right.
I'm pretty stable mentally, I think.
You're a lot smarter than anybody I know.
I don't know. But, you know, this is something, again, I don't want to sit there and say that's the right thing to do. But, you know, there might have been some vitamins or minerals that might have been missing. Who knows? I'm not a doctor. But I survived on it, obviously. I didn't die.
Well, that's what that lady, Saki, I think her name
was. Right.
Well, if you're having trouble finding baby formula, contact your doctor. Like, he's got a closet full of baby formula. I mean, I heard stupid things, and that's one of them. Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, good answer there, Saki. She even quit to get a better job. I think she's working for Communist News Network.
Probably, yeah.
Clinton News Network.
Yeah.
But she got a better job than working for Biden. So
I like, you know, one of the things that Biden was trying to do, I'm being sarcastic when I say this, is his diversity hires. You know, he had to be a black woman. And there's nothing wrong with hiring
the Supreme
black
Court.
Women.
Yeah.
Well, that, but
he announced that, you know, 2 years before.
Or his vice president had to be a black woman. And it's like, why? You know, there's nothing wrong with having a black woman, but just doing that alone, it's not even that their person's qualified. Obviously, Kamala Harris is not qualified, in my opinion. She lost in the primaries very horribly.
I had as many delegates as she did.
Right.
Yeah, zero.
And it's just, it's really scary that it's just, that was the only thing that was qualifying factor. It was just her race and her gender.
Oh, she was shocked when he asked her to join his team.
But she was the one criticizing him in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, you know, like, those are kind of things I look at and think, this is an odd world we live in, thinking that's a redeeming thing to do, is you're just checkboxing them. Isn't that kind of whitewashing things? You know, wouldn't you want somebody, you know, not because of their race or their... or gender, that they actually had qualifications for the job.
Well, if you needed a open heart surgery, you're gonna say, well, I want a black lady to do the, you know. I mean, give me the best surgeon you got.
And I think this is, to me, I would think, it, you know, I would be disgusted that someone just would look at me as that. If you had all these qualifications and they picked you because you're just, you check these boxes. And I think that's where, I think that's kind of racist in my opinion. That we're not moved away from these check boxes again. And, you know, America's becoming very mixed. You know, we're becoming very...
mixed up.
Mixed up. And genetics, we're starting to, you know, what's American? American's a mutt. It's always been. If you look back throughout our history, you know, America's been a mixed mutt society. And that's what makes us great, I think. We can take different cultures. Look at when Italians first came here. They were criticized. They were horrendously abused.
The Irish were that way too. And,
but I'm saying, but look at their culture now. We, you know, their culture is so ingrained in American culture that Italians look at Italians and Americans as totally different people because they're ingrained in our culture. And they're not, you know, completely 100% ingrained. They still have their communities and everything. But, you know, there's people now clamoring for separation or segregation in colleges now. They're thinking that people need to have their own race spaces. And these are concerning things because they're bringing this stuff out of college into corporate worlds, thinking they need to have separation of their own spaces. And I don't think that's safe. That's not a safe mentality, is to have an echo chamber. We need, you know, when you go to college, it's to educate yourself partially, but also to experience the world, be able to face the challenges out there, and be able to have a discussion about it in a debate in a reasonable manner. And but that's considered crazy now to mention that.
Yeah, we're becoming too soft.
Yeah.
Way too soft. So what's the debt up to now?
The debt? Well, which one?
Have we hit 31? No.
Not yet. We're working on it.
Yeah, it's going up. Wow.
We're watching the debt clock right now. U.S. debt... clock.org. Yeah.
Well, that's depressing.
The other one is savings per family. I'm hearing that in the last 2 years that 85% of savings has dropped
to 4%
from personal savings. Yeah, people are spending savings at a record rate.
Buying food and gas.
Buying food and gas, paying gas. You know, the stimulus checks, you know, people don't realize that made the inflation that now they were facing.
Where do you think all these high rents came from?
COVID? They're adjusting for...
They had rent and mortgage moratoriums where you didn't have to pay any rent.
Uh-huh.
You said, okay, so what do the landlords do? They get desperate, so they raise their rents.
Sure.
Thank you, government.
They had to, because you think about it, that was one of the problems.
They couldn't kick anybody out.
They couldn't kick anybody out, and people weren't paying. They thought they didn't have to pay because they thought the government was going to come in and swoop in and pay their rent.
Well, they did. Well, they swooped in and saved them, told them you didn't have to pay. I don't know. Do you have to, once that moratorium was over, do you have to pay all that back rent?
Yeah.
You're supposed to?
Yep.
Good luck with that.
Yep. And so that's what happened. A lot of people were end up evicted. But this is a growing problem. In California, there's certain cities that are pushing the same thing again. They're pushing for... extended.
Oh, they still have a moratorium out there.
Yeah. It's
another
crazy.
18 months. I think they did it last month. They said another 18 months.
I wouldn't want to be a landlord in that environment.
Whoa, are you kidding?
Because there's some reason I think people are forgetting that landlords, they think their landlords are just millionaires. And yeah, sure, some of them are out there, but majority are not.
Right.
You know, a majority are just private citizens, you know, regular citizens. They're like middle class that happen to own a duplex or a single house that they rent out. It could have been their parents' house.
A little investment.
It could have been their parents' house that passed away and they decided to rent the house out instead of keeping, you know, selling it. And right now, the housing crisis, you know, is bound to happen here soon.
Yeah, it's coming.
It's dipping. There's I was looking at some stats earlier where purchases, you know, while prices are going up, purchases are starting to drop drastically. They saw a 25% decrease in purchases of new homes in the last month. So it's starting to dip off. People are like, whoa, we're not paying these prices. And it's going to cut back because some are saying that it could cause another crisis. It could cause another 2008 housing.
Sure, it will. A little different, but it's going to happen. I mean, real estate prices are probably tank, as the interest rates go up, the prices will go down.
The people will not be able to borrow money at that with interest rates going up. But, you know, that with inflation going up, you have to raise your prices. This is the reality. It's the nature of the business. You know, if you don't, then you're – if look at your wages. If you're not making 10% increase of wage, if you're not getting a 10% raise
– you're losing ground, yeah.
You're losing ground easily. You should be at
same
least –
same way with Social Security.
What Social Security's – what did they raise that to this last year?
I think you got like a 5% raise.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's the biggest raise I've ever got.
But it should be 10.
Yeah, well, 10 or 15, but, you know, 5% seemed like a holy cow. I think I was like 70 or 80 bucks I got more.
But see, that's the problem.
I'm going to go to Hawaii.
But you see, when people raise their rents, you know, people will attack landlords and saying, oh, you're just being greedy and taking advantage of them. No, they have their mortgage to pay. They have their bills to pay. They have taxes to pay. You know, no one's accounting for that. They just think they're just a bunch of greedy people. And I think people are so resentful at someone purchasing a home, fixing it up, even if it's not the 100% best situation, and they're renting it out. They're taking a major risk because everything's stacked against them.
Big time, because it's going to get destroyed.
Everything's stacked against them, and people are so resentful towards them as if they're some horrible human beings doing what they're doing. You know what I think should happen? If you don't like landlords, then go buy your own house and you become a landlord and try to show how. Yeah.
Let the bank be your landlord.
Or no, not that. They should be a landlord themselves and see how good it is, how hard it is to be a landlord. Maybe they'll shut their mouths when they realize how difficult it is to be a landlord.
That's terrible. It's a terrible business to be
in. And I say this because I'm not a landlord. I'm just making a point. You know, there's something majorly wrong with people mentally.
Well, I was for a long time. Right. I had a lot of 26 apartments or 26 houses.
Right.
And it was just a nightmare, constant nightmare. Destroyed properties.
Yeah.
People didn't pay. I mean, you know, and they did background checks just up the wazoo, and it didn't matter. Always something new that would get you.
My brother was a landlord, and he faced a lot of issues with that, with people the damaging properties. One even fired a rifle, and it went through the floors. And just punching holes in the wall for people punching and stuff like that. Just stupid things.
Well, I had one lady wouldn't stop paying her rent. And so I did the legal thing, you know, try to go through the magistrate district.
Right.
And her excuse was that there was a couple of windows that had screens in them, that the screens were ripped.
Right.
So that's why she didn't want to pay her rent. I said, well, the screens weren't ripped when you moved in.
Right.
You know? I mean, you know, they destroy the place and then they blame me. And
right.
Oh, what a nightmare.
This is something I think that, you know, again, we're seeing the rents go up. People are complaining about that. They're seeing inflation going up. This all started majorly happening after the first stimulus and the many other stimulus packages that came through. We're seeing the effects of inflation drastically.
Well, yeah.
And some people are saying that's not what's happening, but that's the truth. It's what's happening.
Well, you start throwing money at everything, and you start printing money, and the amount of money that's out there floating around goes way up. Well, then guess what? Everything's going to get more expensive. It's just all there is to it.
And, you know, there's some people clamoring for student loan debt to be covered by the government. But this is one of the things I have an issue
with. Forgiving their loans,
But here's the problem. Who's forgiving? Who's going to be paying that? It's the people that were responsible and didn't take loans out in the first place are going to be paying for. So let's say a tradesperson that's been working for 50 years in the field or 40 years in the field or whatever, and he didn't have all these student loans on his back and made his good money living in a comfortable life, you know, and making what, $50,000 or $60,000 a year or more. And now he has to pay higher taxes because some idiot that was 18 didn't read the loan. And I'm going to be honest, an 18-year-old's an adult. We need to start treating 18-year-olds as adults.
I've seen some 50-year-olds that had $300,000 of student debt still.
Yeah, because they're not paying their debt off. That's right. Why.
A math teacher. What? How'd you get $300,000 in debt?
Yeah, you're not
at 53.
You're not paying. They're paying the bare minimum. That's why. It means they're paying the interest.
Something's wrong with that picture. I mean, why would anybody lend you money to be a math teacher?
But see, that's the
$40,000 a year.
But see, that's the problem. It's federally approved loans, so they, you know,
easy.
It's easy, but that's, I think, one of the major issues. When it's federally approved, the universities match the price. And, of course, the universities will go on strike and want more raises, and it's a vicious cycle, and it keeps on going up and up and up. And we don't have any caps on this. There's no caps on this at all.
The more money that's out there, the higher the prices go.
I think the first
medicine,
step,
insurance, you know, everything's the same. It just goes higher.
If we were
higher.
To fix the student loan situation, it's not making universities free, because it's not really free. You're paying taxes on it to be free to the student. But here's what we could do to fix it. You ready for this? Not everybody needs to go to university. You know what we need to do? We need to get rid of federally approved loans and let them file for bankruptcy. That would sure cut back on people lending money out. They would only want the ones that can definitely pay. And you know what?
Right.
Universities can do what they do all the time, is that they want a poor student to be able to go to university, give a grant to them. Problem solved.
Well, that's the same way with the banks. They got FDIC insurance. Well, I know somebody that got wiped out pretty much. And they insure up to $250,000.
Yep.
But what they don't tell you, it takes 9 years to get your money.
Yeah.
9 years later,
that's
you might
rough.
Get paid.
Right.
Jeez, oh man.
And that was something.
They don't tell you that part.
That was something institutionalized back in the 40s. They brought that back. And I think that's interesting how that's evolved. But, you know, this.
I hear people say, do not put more than $250,000 in the bank.
Yeah.
I think you're crazy if you put more than $1,000 or $2,000 in the bank.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they could take it or it could disappear at any moment.
Look at what happened in Canada. If you were donating money to a certain group of people in Canada, they froze your accounts. And it wasn't some terrorist organization. It just people were protesting against, you know, COVID. And what, right or wrong, you can morally say that you disagree with that. And let's say I don't agree with everything that they were saying myself. But the point of the matter is the Canadian government froze their accounts. I found that was wrong, more wrong. It's more morally wrong to freeze their accounts for donating to something. This is why I'm glad we have freedom of speech in this country, and we should protect it so much, because there's some people that want to silence speech. And there's,
already done that.
To a point. I mean, especially universities.
People are scared to talk about anything.
Oh, sure, because you might lose your job or something. You know.
Hey, you want to do a show with no music?
Yeah.
None whatsoever?
Yeah. Let's take a small break, though.
Okay, let's take a break and we'll come back.
Yeah.
Did you throw some more wood on the fire?
Oh, yeah, there's more wood on the fire. That's billsfirewood.com.
That's the genuine stuff right there.
Dry wood.
Dry wood, all mixed hardwood, all kinds of different stuff.
Bill likes his wood hard.
And mixed.
Remember that, ladies.
No, don't go there. Holy smokes. Even just that little operation I got, I mean, the price of diesel fuel, $6.50 or whatever it was.
Yeah, and it's going up.
I have to use non-ethanol gas, which is another 50 cents higher than whatever it's going for. So it's $5.50, I think it was. And it's like behind the scenes. I mean, people think, well, you got to deliver it, so there's an expense. But there's more expense cutting up the logs. And
you get the split tractor, you have a chainsaw.
Stacking them up and covering them up and, you know, then delivery. But
just the tractor alone burns a lot of fuel, too, to use. And that torque with it. And
Move stuff around.
Right.
There's no getting around that.
And then the gas involved and the travel, the wear and tear. I mean, there's a lot of expenses that people don't realize that goes into it. And
I have to do is have my transmission go out in my SUV and then boom.
You're out for a bit,
Yeah, there goes that year's profit right out the window.
Right.
So it's I figured it out. It's about 50 cents an hour I can make.
Right.
From my labor. it keeps me healthy, though.
That's right. What they say. Right. And you're getting a lot of sun, too.
Yeah, a lot of sun, but I'm also getting a sore back. So that's not very, very fun.
No.
So, I don't know. This is Depression Day, so what else is depressing going on? I guess the war in
Ukraine, yeah.
Ukraine and all that. The invasion.
It's a lot of people dying, that's for sure.
We're sending over more weapons, more money, really.
Right.
To
$45 billion plus weapons. And you know, we go back. Let's go back to the Spanish Civil War that happened right before World War II. Is Nazis were sending their arms and weapons and soldiers to go practice.
Airplanes, yeah.
Airplanes, tanks. The Soviet Union was sending stuff. America was, England was, the UK was, France. Everybody was sending all their equipment to fight.
It was a test ground. Test out their stuff. what do you call that, proxy?
Yeah, proxy war to test out the weapons. In some ways, Vietnam was the same way. We were testing a lot of, like, drones actually came from Vietnam. There was early drones from then. And the helicopter, that was in Korea, they started doing helicopters. But the point I'm trying to make is... We're doing the same thing with Ukraine, and there's a lot of death in this war that's crazy numbers. The last time I saw is 20 to 25,000 on both sides have lost soldiers. Deaths, complete deaths, you know. And if you factor in, that was only 3 months, right? This war's been going on 3 months. Yeah. We lost, 7,000 or 8,000
In 20 years
in Iraq and in Afghanistan combined. So in 20 years, we lost only 7 or 8,000. I'd have to look up the number. It's minuscule compared to what Russia and Ukraine are facing. And right now, there's a huge potential of the European Union giving even more arms and weapons to Ukraine, which is their choice. It's not looking good for the war because it's going to prolong things. I'm not saying that you just give up easily. I mean, if we're a sovereign country and we're getting invaded by another country that was pretty massive, like China or something, I sure the heck would be fighting. But I look at this as there's a huge chance that Ukraine's going to join the EU very shortly. And that's going to amplify the war. It's going to drag in other countries. And so it's going to turn into another potential world war. and that's something that's pretty major. I think if that happens, Russia will back off.
I don't think so. They don't care about losing soldiers.
Well,
Stalin, he killed more of his own soldiers than the enemy.
There's truth to that. And the one thing that's happening right now, though, is in Russia, is there's many people blowing up or burning down military registration or their draft centers. They have different draft centers in cities. And so there's already starting to have internal protest against the government there. Same thing is happening in China. There's a lot of protests going on there. We're seeing many countries starting to rise up against their governments. And North Korea is the one that I'm wondering when that will happen because...
Do you think that's going to happen here?
Could be. It has. It happens in the past. I mean, look at in the last 2 years during COVID with all the protests on both sides. You had over in Seattle, Chaz, you know, that dude, he took over Seattle, six blocks in Seattle, and declared an autonomous zone from the United States. And no one did anything during that time. There was rapes and murders going on, and the police couldn't go in there. Because they closed it off to the police, and then they had to, I think it was Trump that called in.
Anybody go to jail?
Yep, they arrested Chaz, the leader.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, that's
and the thing is these protests that were happening were actually hurting the elections because the polls were showing that most Americans were not okay with how people were trying to defund the police and everything.
Speaking of that, did you see in Philadelphia those judges?
Oh no! What
they
about that?
They pleaded guilty to about 10 years worth of ballot stuffing and jerry rigging the vote, and you know the federal guys are the one that got after them.
Oh wow!
And they gave up, and I don't know, spend the rest of their days in jail, I guess, or who knows, they'll probably be out in two months. But some really high profile judges and stuff that were screwing, they were making a lot of money from that, producing votes for the Democrats, which Philadelphia is 65% of the voting population in Pennsylvania. So what Philadelphia wants, they usually get.
Right.
So it's depressing everywhere you look, even in our country.
Yeah, it's the former judge of elections, that's what it was?
Yeah, there's a couple of them, a couple guys.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty messed up. You know, there's you know, when you look at the potential, when people panic, you look at the baby formula shortage and how people panicked with that. I could see that if it happened with more things, that there would be more rioting. So there's a potential. I think this is where we go back to some people think they could just have a go bag, quote unquote, and run off to the woods and survive if society started mass rioting. But I think a stronger alternative to that would be having a strong community that you can trust and knowing who your neighbors are.
Well, that's a problem right there.
I mean,
who can you trust?
Well, yeah. I mean, look at where you live. I mean, if you know your neighbors pretty well, then you guys can form a knit community and just kind
of... All I know is there's a lot of target practicing going on around.
Oh, yeah.
I can hear it constantly every
day.
Yeah. So I don't know where they get the money for all that ammo, but...
I'm going to tell you right now, this is not an advertisement, but I can tell you where I order my ammo. It's called AmmoSeek, AmmoSeek.com. And you can find very inexpensive ammo there. Because you can't find ammo right now in stores, but you can sure the heck find it online.
Hmm.
And why I'm buying ammo is not for self-defense, even though I have concealed carry permit. It's more for, you know, there is the situation where you do need to have ammo for hunting and whatnot, and also teaching my son how to, you know, shoot, how to properly handle a weapon. You know, these are important things to learn. Even if you disagree with it, you should know how to use a weapon. That's how I view it. It's not just a simple thing to go hunting with. You should know how to use a weapon regardless, so then you are prepared for it if you ever need to use it.
Well, I tell you step out on your porch and there's a bear standing there looking at you. Them claws, big giant claws out of you. Say, uh-oh, now what?
thankfully, most black bears are scared of us, and they'll do a false charge at you, but if you stand your ground, black bears will usually run. Not always, but they usually do. But grizzly bears, I wouldn't trust them.
Well, these bears, they do run. They used to run fast, but now they just slowly walk away.
Right.
You know, but they stop and turn around and look at you for a while. You know, try to think about, well, should I run or not? You know, so it's not an immediate thing anymore. And they say, you know, kind of like they're telling you to buzz off.
Right.
You know. So it's not, you don't want to be between them and the food or whatever.
No. Or their cubs, you know.
And I think, you know, I think they could run down a deer. I'm telling you, they are fast.
If you ever get the chance, this is the honest truth. I call this for everybody to do, is to get on YouTube and search for black bear climbing tree to hunter and see how fast that bear climbs that tree. And you'll realize you never want to try to climb a tree to escape a bear because it'll be up the tree faster than you can even get halfway point.
I mean, they are fast. There's no question.
They climb trees extremely well.
I bet they run 30, 35 miles an hour.
Same thing with groundhogs. Groundhogs, people think, you know, they're just in the ground. No, they can climb trees, too. If they get scared, they'll climb a tree.
Porcupines, they crawl up in the trees, too. Right. I just saw one the other day up there.
Not COVID.
No.
But, no, I just, I think going back to your original thing, you know, that there is a lot of concern with riots and everything in this country. And a lot of people, there's a record number of people buying weapons, handguns and whatnot. You know, there is something in the air where people, especially since even after Obama. Obama, there was a peak there, but then COVID was happening, and that's when you started seeing people buying ammo, everything, rapidly, to the point where right before COVID, my father and I, you know, I was trying to get him into reloading again because we all have the same caliber rifle for hunting. And I was like, we need to, you know, start reloading. This is crazy. We're paying this $20 a $20 for 20 rounds is stupid. Mm-hmm. We could easily reload for a lot less expensive measures. And that's when reloading kits started getting extremely expensive, and the primers and you name it. Everything was getting expensive with that.
Now, what goes in there? Is that, what do you call it? Gunpowder, I guess.
Gunpowder is the older way. This maybe is smokeless powder. So you weigh it out, and then you put it in there. It's a procedure, but it's not. Once you get, it's a factory procedure. Once you get to use of the rhythm, you start just doing it naturally.
Can you put more powder in there than it's supposed to be?
No, I would not. I'm.
That's make one of a the, louder bang.
Yeah, it might cause your barrel to have some issues. You got to be careful how much powder you do put in there, because you don't want too much issues. Because when you're doing all that, you have to be precise to a point. It's one of those things you don't want to mess with. I've seen rounds cook off before when I was in the military. Someone was smoking in a ammo shack, and the rounds all started going off. I don't know how this happened, that they were smoking a cigarette, and then somehow it lit off. It did a chain reaction where it started burning the building, and the rounds were going off everywhere, every which way. Mm. That was
scary.
That was one of the weirdest things in my life. I have to talk to some guys I was with in the military if they remember that incident. But that taught me to kind of respect weapons a little bit. Yeah. You know?
Well, I've seen plane crashes and...
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of crazy stuff in the military.
Yeah.
Of course, they, you know, they encourage you to shoot a bazooka and blow up a Jeep or whatever.
You ever see those javelins?
Practice on. No, I never did.
Oh my gosh, those javelins are crazy. It's like a missile shooting out of a tube.
$100,000 a piece. Yep. I don't think I'll ever will
no,
see one.
But I've shot
Unless
one
it's
before.
In a movie.
Jeez. It's just crazy thinking how expensive those things are, and you fire one, and it's like, wow, I just wasted a lot of money. You know?
Right.
There's a Bill Hicks joke about that.
Well, I don't know. It's just day after day, every time. Of course, the stock market has been slowly grinding down.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes up a little bit sometimes, but it's overall, it's going down.
Yeah.
And there's a crash or something coming.
Right.
The unemployment's going to skyrocket. I mean, you hear all these big guys, Elon Musk and some of these. A lot of companies are hiring freeze, or they're 10%. Laying off people, 10% of their workforce. The banks are, even the banks are warning. I mean, Jamie Dimon and some of the economic hurricane, he called it. And that's unusual for them guys to be talking like that.
Right.
That's not what they do.
Right.
So the Federal Reserve is just totally out of control. They'll stop their... tightening, I guess they call it, you know.
Even crazier thought is right now the U.S. dollar and the euro are the same value right now. So it shows you roughly the same value. It shows you how bad inflation is, not just with the United States, but worldwide. And
It's worldwide. All the banks are, everybody's doing the same thing. They're printing up money out of thin air and increasing the money supply, something awful.
Right.
All over the world. Now, Russia, I don't know, and China, I don't know for sure.
They're propping their economies
up. The
ruble
has gone up.
Well, that's, again, we have to be careful. Remember how China was inflating their currency to mask?
Well, they devalued their currency.
They devalued your currency.
Sell more
right.
products.
And so Russia's mimicking that as well in the reverse. Right now, Russia's economy is not in good shape right now. I have a friend there right now that's in St. Petersburg. And he's a professor at the one university there, the St. Petersburg University, and there's major issues with shelves, you know, stock and whatnot, in grocery stores and different things. There's supply shortages up the wazoo. Because you think about it, they were trading with Europe, they were trading with the U.S.
Well, they're right on the border,
and
real close to the...
And not just that, but it's whole of Russia, there's a major issue. And most of Russia is not urban. You know, if you think about how big Russia is, the actual where most Russians live is the size of Ukraine. Okay? But if you exclude the rest of the Russia, it's all rural. It's a so vast area that there's no people living. Very few people living in those areas. And there's many ethnic groups there. So it's very vast country, but there's population centers. And that's all spread out. So you think about supply chain reaching those far, vast regions.
Yeah.
They're suffering.
Well,
right
the
now.
Price of gas in Russia is cheap, very
yes.
cheap.
Yes, it's the same thing with Venezuela. But you look at Venezuela, they don't even have their own oil refineries.
Well, that's what they do sell is the dirtiest oil there is.
But same way
with Russia.
But here's the problem with Venezuela. We've got to bring them up for a second, because recently they just came out saying that they're such in dire straits economically that they're opening up people buying a share of companies there, because they're socialists and they nationalized everything. But would you trust that government again after what they did? They nationalized everything.
Trust has gone out the window that's why these oil drillers and guys like that, they say, okay, well, we're going to open up these things, tracks for leasing or whatever.
Right, right.
They said, no thanks. We don't know what you're going to do next week.
Yeah.
You know, why invest $2 billion into an oil well
right.
and have it shut down, 2 months later?
Right.
Crazy.
And some people are like, well, they're making record.
I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either. But this is where I'm not, I sound like I'm defending the oil industry. But I have to say is the oil industry has been very thin margins on their production. And no one takes that into account. They just say, the executives are earning so much XYZ.
Well, there's still a little competition going on,
Right.
It's not all just one company.
No. We're not like Standard Oil of the old days. Yeah.
Once somebody starts buying them all out, Elon Musk starts buying all the oil companies.
He's trying to buy Twitter right now. And that's an interesting prospect. There's people saying, he should be spending that money on helping people. But, I think he's done more to help people than the people criticizing him. And I'm not a fanboy of his.
He's created more jobs.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah. I mean, all these people criticizing him need to take a step back and go try to do what he's doing. Create a job. Why don't you go make some jobs out there and build careers for people? And then talk.
Go ask Biden what he's done in the last 50 years.
Exactly. I think that's where we are missing out on some of our politicians. A lot of them have never, actually worked a day in their lives. I look at Bernie Sanders. He's always had some kind of government job that was cushy, and then has three homes and multi-million-dollar book sales, and really hasn't had to, let's say, work for it. I think that's where it's frustrating with these career politicians,
Yeah, it's who's that? That lady, Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
Boy, did she talk out of her butt.
Yeah.
Jeez,
and she got to college with claiming she was Native American, and she's like,
yeah.
I have more. I think the average American has way more Native American than she does. That's one of the things I hate about. I took a DNA test, and I don't have any Native American at all in my DNA. And there were stories from my great aunt that there was Native American ancestry and such. And, I never believed it. But then when the DNA came out, I was like, yeah, there's no DNA. And there's no DNA to show that it's Native American. I would have accepted it if it was true, but it's not.
Yeah.
So why claim it? And I think that's what Elizabeth Warren, she use that to get into college, and that's extremely wrong,
Well, whatever,
she got a free ride because of it.
All about the dollar bill.
That was our tax dollars going to somebody that's not Native American.
Yeah. She's an authority on everything now.
Yeah.
So, hey, that's enough depression today. Let's, looks like the fire's about ready to go out.
Yeah, it's about to go out there, yeah.
And guess what? We don't have any more wood.
Yeah, we don't want to use too much wood.
I didn't break. Yeah, I got to save it for when it gets cold out.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm going to have a lot of people calling me this year.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are worried about the electric bills going up 50%.
Easily.
And the gas bills, you know, some of them, they're talking 200 to 300% increase in the natural gas.
We need to tell our senators and House representatives, call them to get nuclear power. We need more nuclear power.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's what we need.
Talking to those people, you might as well. Okay, well, let's we'll catch it. We'll get some music together for next week, and thank everybody for stopping by and tuning in, and try to be more upbeat next week.
Yeah,
if that's possible, it might be worse.
We might be
invaded by China or something.
Who knows?
Yeah. Okay, folks, it's been a pleasure, and we'll see y'all next week.